Just really think about this for a second. A lot of people choose their career, sometimes careers that they're in for 20, 30, 40 years. They choose their career with the same level of intentionality that you choose what you're going to put on in the morning. Okay, I'll wear this or I'll put these pants on. Sometimes we put more energy into the outfit we're going to wear than we put into choosing the type of work that we're actually going to do. Okay, so this is what I wanted to read to you guys. Most of us have been blindly conditioned to believe that work is something we are required to do. And because of this, we don't necessarily need to enjoy it. We see work as something we engage in only to make money. And if it weren't for the money, we wouldn't do it in the first place. Even the very concept of retirement alludes to the fact that we're doing something with a massive chunk of our lives that we wouldn't do if we really had the choice. Let that sink in for a moment. If you find yourself waking up in the morning trying to motivate yourself to keep doing things you hate doing, you're not grinding, you're wearing yourself out. With such a significant portion of our lives spent working, shouldn't we at least make an attempt to find or create work that's enjoyable? What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. As you can see, I'm completely out of breath. I just finished a workout, but I have to get this intro done. Otherwise, I won't have time to do it today. Look at my little man right here. This is my dog. He just took me for a run. I didn't go for a run with him. He took me for a run. This episode is me. I'm doing a virtual speaking gig. Scotty B from Evolution Vegan Academy invited me to speak to his group. My topic of discussion for Scotty's group was on the topic of not just getting a job, but creating a lifestyle for yourself. I think there's a lot of gems you guys will be able to take from this, especially if you've recently been laid off or you're in a place where you're trying to find a new career. Maybe you're unemployed. You're just trying to figure out your next move. A lot of what I said in this episode will be very beneficial to you. And also, I was able to do some live coaching. We had time at the end for me to do some Q&A. A couple of people were brave enough to step up and ask questions, and I was able to coach them live on the call. So I think you'll be able to learn a lot from my coaching as well. With that being said, if this is your first time here, please subscribe to the podcast. Please like this video. Share it with somebody who needs to see it. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please click the 5-star button. If you've ever gotten any value from the show, please just scroll down to the bottom and click the 5-star button right now. It really makes a difference. I love you guys. I'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
All right, y'all. Happy Thursday. It is the 30th of March, 2023, and it is our March expert call here in EBJ. Today speaking is Mr. Taj Deshaun, and I'm going to let him do his full intro, but he's going to be speaking today on don't just get a job, create a lifestyle. He's bringing some heat, some fire. He actually came recommended from a prior EBJ student to speak in this academy. And I know a lot of you have asked for a little bit more around career direction, how to think about it, what to do. And I thought Taj was a great addition to that. So super excited to have him here. And Taj, go ahead and take it away.
Awesome. Scotty, thank you again for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. I take it very, very seriously when someone invites me into their group or to their community to share. So just a few things about me, just so you guys know, I'm not going to give you some long, drawn out bio. We may or may not get into my story. I really want to be intentional with this time and just share with you guys. I don't have a PowerPoint to show you. I'm really just going to be speaking from the heart. I'm the type of person where if I overprepare, then I'm not going to stick to the script anyway. So it's better if I just share what's on my mind and on my heart. And I want to be clear, you know, I'm not here for, you know, rah-rah motivation. You guys can all go on YouTube and watch motivational videos. I'm really here to give you inspiration. And when I say inspiration, I don't mean just a feeling. I mean, I want you guys to all leave with something today that you can take with you and actually apply immediately, even if you're someone who's satisfied in your career. Also, I want to recommend that you take notes. Like I said, I don't have a script or anything. I do have a couple of notes just to make sure I stay on track, but make sure you have something to write with, because like I said, there could be one thing that I say today that you take with you and just is a complete game changer. So let's see. I know some of you guys aren't on video, but just before I dive in, because I don't like speaking out of context or assuming I know what's, you know, where's the best place to start. So can I just get even if you're not on video, like a show of hands or just click like the thumbs up emoji. If you are someone who is unsatisfied in your career, I don't want to say you hate your job. Hate is kind of a strong word. Maybe you're looking elsewhere or trying to figure out what the next move is going to be. Maybe you just got laid off or maybe you just want to make a career transition. Maybe you want to start a business or something like that. Okay, I see Jesse with the thumbs up. Anyone else? Okay, I see you. Sorry, I got some stuff on my screen. I see you, Iris. Okay. All right, so like I said, even if that's not the case, then I think some of the things I'll share will apply. I want to keep it as brief as possible because I'm a coach at heart. you know, I don't want to be talking at you guys for the next hour. So I want to make sure we have some time where I can hear about your specific situation and you guys can ask questions. A little bit about me. I promise I'll keep it brief. Former college football player, played football at Stony Brook University. Some of you guys are like, where the hell is that? I always tell people it's D1. Okay. You may not have heard of it, but I played D1 ball. When I didn't make it to the NFL, I came home and was extremely depressed because I didn't know who I was outside of the football jersey. And this is a common problem, as you guys may or may not know, with a lot of athletes. And after kind of floating around in the world trying to figure out who I was for quite some time, I started a program called Thrive After Sports, which you see behind me. And it's dedicated to helping athletes figure out what they want to do, not just from a career perspective, but figuring out who they are and what they want to do. And so I do that in many different ways. Coaching, I have a podcast, written several books about the topic of athlete transition. And over the years, mainly because of my podcast, a lot of people started reaching out to me wanting advice on their career who were non-athletes. Just as an inside joke, I call them civilians. I call non-athletes civilians. But you guys are all athletes. If you're part of Scotty's group, you guys all train like athletes. You guys have an athletic mindset. So, you know, that led me to actually doing career coaching, which led Scotty to invite me here today. So what I want to start with is, you know, some of us, we may be climbing the ladder, and I'm talking about the corporate ladder or even, you know, a metaphorical ladder. But the problem is with that, that sometimes if you're climbing the ladder, it could be up against the wrong wall, right? And there could be some misalignment there. You can put all this time, energy, and effort into getting a promotion or even starting a business. You may start a business and be building it, and then you're just like, why the hell did I start doing this thing? I don't really want to do this. And at that point, just like the athletes I work with, you may find yourself in a period of transition. You don't know where you're at. You need to kind of restart. And so just some clues that you can look for to, you know, really decide if that's you or figure out if you're in that position. Oh, somebody's baby is really into this. The baby is getting ready to make a career change. Shout out to the baby. But some things to look out for are, you know, you're at work and you're looking at the clock. All right. You're like, man, is it 5 o'clock yet? Can I go home? Or even if you work remotely, you're like, can I be off the clock? Is it 5 o'clock yet? And then you look at the clock and it's 9:30 a.m. And you're like, damn, we got a long way to go here. Another way is if you get the Sunday night blues. I know some of you guys know what I mean by the Sunday night blues. I've had the Sunday night blues at many times in my life where you can't even really enjoy your Sunday. You don't even have a full weekend. It's like, cool, I have Saturday. This is my day off to be free and kind of do what I want to do. And then Sunday rolls around. And as soon as the sun starts setting, you're like, ah, back to the work week, back to the grind. So if that's you, and I know a lot of you guys can relate, it's time to start at least considering or looking into how you can make some sort of pivot in your life. And the reason we find ourselves there is because, you know, a lot of people choose a job or career. Just as an example, with the athlete clients I work with, a lot of people tell athletes, hey, you should get into sales. You're a competitor. You know, that would be a great career path for you, without considering how you're wired as a person, what you actually want to do with your life. If you're going to get into sales? What type of product? What type of industry? These are questions that we don't ask ourselves. And sometimes we let other people tell us what we should do with our lives and our career paths. And so if you think about it, a lot of people, they just get like, hey, you graduate from college or you're looking for a job and you're like, I just need something. I just need to make some money. I don't know what I want to do, but let me just see if this place is hiring. And that's starting. I always tell people, you never want to start externally to solve an internal problem. So most people, when they're looking for a job or they're in the middle of making a change, they'll be like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to make some sort of pivot. And I'm just going to look on LinkedIn, or I'm going to look on Indeed and try to see who's hiring or what type of jobs I can get, right? Meaning, what am I capable? What have I done so far that makes me qualified to get this job? Or what can I actually get to get out of this place? And I have a lot of analogies. You guys are hearing me use some analogies. The first one I want to share is that's like running from the nightmare without running towards the dream. So a lot of people run from the nightmare of, I hate this job. I'm being micromanaged. This sucks. I need to find something new. Anything is better than this. So they run from the nightmare, but they don't have a dream that they're running towards. And so what I want to invite you all to do the next time you find yourself in that space, or even if you're in that space right now, is to do the heavy lifting up front of crafting that vision of what the dream is, So you're not just going from job to job, finding yourself in the same situation under a different roof. You're having clarity about where you actually want to go and spending time doing that. Now, that's not easy. It's easy for me to sit here and say that, right? I've done it myself. I've helped a lot of people craft that vision for their dream. But you have to look at it as you guys are all here because you want to be in better shape. You want to be more healthy overall. And you guys know that takes work. So what I'm saying is you have to take that same type of work ethic and understanding that it takes time, energy, and patience to craft that dream. You have to take that same mindset when you're looking for a new career or going into business for yourself. So, I mean, if you like, so a lot of people, you guys, and just really think about this for a second. A lot of people choose their career, sometimes careers that they're in for 20, 30, 40 years. They choose their career with the same level of intentionality that you choose what you're going to put on in the morning. Like, think about that for a second. Like, okay, I'll wear this or I'll put these pants on. It's kind of the same approach. Okay, I'll get this job. This is hiring. This is what I've done before. Sometimes we put more energy into the outfit than we're going to wear than we put into choosing the type of work that we're actually going to do. Let me pull this up. This is why I don't have PowerPoints, because I want to read something to you guys. And let me just grab the book. All right. So shameless plug. This is my first book. That's me with my bald head on the cover shining. All right. It's called Thrive After Sports, Helping Athletes Dominate the Game of Life. Even if you're not a former elite athlete, I want to encourage you guys to grab this book. And I'm not doing this. I don't make a lot of money off of books, guys. I'm doing that not to make money, but to encourage you guys, if you're having trouble, because this book is not an autobiography. This book is a tool to help people figure out what they want to do with their lives, whether you're an athlete or not. I wrote it for former athletes, but I've had a lot of non-athletes tell me that it helped them as well. Okay, so this is what I wanted to read to you guys. Let me take a sip of water. Let's see. Okay, most of us have been blindly conditioned to believe that work is something we are required to do. And because of this, we don't necessarily need to enjoy it. That's why we say things like, I have to go to work, instead of I get to go to work. We see work as something we engage in only to make money. And if it weren't for the money, we wouldn't do it in the first place. Even the very concept of retirement alludes to the fact that we're doing something with a massive chunk of our lives that we wouldn't do if we really had the choice. Let that sink in for a moment. Too many people give and receive praise for grinding, pushing through, and emptying out the tank day after day after soul-sucking day. If you find yourself waking up in the morning trying to motivate yourself to keep doing things you hate doing, you're not grinding, you're wearing yourself out. With such a significant portion of our lives spent working, shouldn't we at least make an attempt to find or create work that's enjoyable? So I wanted to share that because, and here's the thing, I'm not saying that, oh, you should just go find your dream career and you don't have to worry about money. I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those, oh, follow your passion and everything will fall into place. I understand people have bills to pay. People have responsibilities. So what I'm saying is do what you need to do to make ends meet, but never just get stuck somewhere without putting the time, energy, and effort into being intentional about where you're going next. I call it having your antennas up, meaning if you're in a position and you're like, okay, I know this isn't it. Let me start building my plan for how I'm going to get out of here or how I'm going to find something that truly fulfills me. And this leads me to kind of the topic of the discussion. It's building a lifestyle around, or building a career around the lifestyle that you want, instead of trying to live a life when you're not working. Because I look at someone like Scotty, you know, this isn't work right now for Scotty. Like, that's Scotty's business. Scotty has blurred the lines between work and play. Like, basically Scotty's in a position where he gets paid to be himself. And all of us, not to get super woo woo and, you know, fake motivational on you guys, but all of us have something special to bring to this world. And once you're able to find out what that is, there's no stopping you. Right. And sometimes that takes shape in the form of a career or your own business. But just to give you guys something practical that you can use, I have something, because I want to talk to you about how you can actually start crafting the dream. So I want to give you a simple formula that you can use to start choosing your work instead of just ending up somewhere. The first thing is this. And this is applicable to business as well. And I want you guys to write these down, just like three columns or categories. You don't have to fill it in right now, but maybe you'll fill it in at some other time. So three columns. The three columns are who, what, and how. Who, what, and how. No matter what you're doing in life, anything work or business related comes down to those three columns. Who am I serving? What am I doing to serve them? And how am I serving them? So the who portion is, and the thing I like about that, it's a perfect blend between selfishness and selflessness. It's okay to be selfish. It's okay to say, I only want to do this type of work. As an example, you guys know I work with athletes, right? I get offers at least once a month to come work in an athletic department and build out programming. Selfishly, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to have to be tied to one university and spend time sitting in an office, you know, 5 days a week when I can work with any athlete around the world from the comfort of my own home and not have someone tell me how much I'm worth when I'm doing that. And I get to set my own schedule. So back to the who, what, and how. So the who is selfless because when you're in a period of trying to figure out what you want to do, it's very important to think about how you can be of service to someone else, right? A lot of people, when I say that, they'll be like, yeah, Taj, that's great. You know, I want to help people and all that, but I also need to make money. Well, money comes from people. I don't know if you guys, you know, money comes from people when it's all said and done, whether that's the person who is cutting your check or if, you know, the people who are paying for your service, or even if you're in a business to business type of role, that money is coming from people inside of the business and going to your business. Money comes from people. So it's very important for you to understand who you want to serve. And it's not fully selfless, right? Because you have a choice in that. You have a choice in saying, I want to serve this group of people. I personally want to help former athletes and people who are struggling in their careers because I was that person. I was a former athlete who was lost. I was a person who didn't know what kind of job or career I wanted for myself. So I chose that group of people. And I know that I'm equipped to help that group of people because of what I've been through. And I don't want you to get discouraged and feel like you're not equipped to help a certain group of people because you don't have experience or the skill set, because that can be developed over time. All that matters is that you're being true to yourself when you choose the who. Okay, so we got the who. Next is the what. Very simple. What problem do you want to solve for that group of people that you're identifying? And it's very important, guys. I don't want to keep jumping back and forth between categories, but the who is crucial because it has to be something that you actually care about, because your what kind of ties into the who in a sense that what you're doing for that group of people is tied into something that's meaningful to you, right? And then once again, the how category is where you get to be selfish because you have a choice in how you want to deliver the what to that group of people. Okay, so once you've got some clarity around that, and I really do encourage you guys to spend time on that, because like I said, even if you're in a place in your life where you're happy, you feel like you have a great career, that will make you better at whatever you're doing. If you focus on who, what, and how you're showing up in the world and how you're serving people, that's only going to make you better at your craft, no matter what you do. Another thing that is important when you're in that discovery phase, and I call it the discovery phase because I want to be very intentional with my language. When people say, Taj, I'm so lost right now, I always cut them off. And I'm like, you're not lost. You're in a place of discovery. If you're lost, that seems like this hopeless, you know, never ending. You guys get what I'm saying? Discovery is I have choice in it. I'm behind the steering wheel of my own life. I get to decide what happens next. I get to put myself in position to win or in the position that I want to be in. So the next step when you're in that discovery phase is study other people. Very simple. Study other people. Find people. You don't have to know them directly, right? I call them virtual mentors. I have people who I've never met. They're my mentors. They teach me every single day. Scotty knows what I'm talking about. People who don't even know I exist have helped me tremendously in my life and in my business because I study their every move. I listen to every word they say. I watch their interviews. I read their books. I listen to their podcasts. So study people who are doing something, anything. It doesn't have to be, oh, I want to do exactly what this person is doing. But it could be, you know what? I like the way this person speaks. I like the way this person runs their social media. Scotty, I'm studying your social media, man. I need to step my game up. Your social media is A1. Scotty's one of my virtual mentors. I'm watching the social media game. You know, take bits and pieces of what they're doing and incorporate it, kind of make a soup and make it into your own. So I often use the analogy of personal trainers. There's a personal trainer. There's personal trainers in every city, in every gym around the world. Why? Because everybody brings something different to the table. So if you take that analogy, you can take bits and pieces from what other people are doing and make it your own. There are other people who help athletes. There are plenty of career coaches out there, right? I have the mentality that no one can do it the way I do it because no one else is me. So take that mentality into whatever you do. The other thing, this is important. This is something else you guys might want to write down. For your discovery phase that you're in, you want to ask people who, like, I call it 3x3. So what you do is you identify three people who know you better than anybody. It could be a spouse, significant other, parents, grandparent, sibling, best friend, doesn't matter who it is. People who, like, if you, when I said top three, I know some people popped into your mind. These are the top three people who know me better than anyone. So I call it 3x3 because what you want to do is you want to reach out to those three people and you say, however you want to position it. You basically say, hey, I'm in a discovery phase in my life. I'm trying to learn more about myself. Or I was on Zoom and some crazy dude named Taj came on there telling me to do all kind of random stuff. But however you want to position it, but you say, I'm looking to make a change in my life, or I'm trying to learn more about myself. Would you mind if I ask you just a few questions about, you know, how you view me? And here are the questions. And I'll break each of these down. The first one, very simple. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? But the third one is the most important one. The third question is, how do you envision me making an impact on the world? So what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? How do you envision me making an impact on the world? The strengths, that's important because, you know, a lot of people will tell you things you already know about yourself, which is good just to get affirmation. Like, okay, I see myself as this way, but other people see me this way too. That's great affirmation. Or you might learn something new about yourself. Like, huh, I never thought about it like that, but I am good at this thing. The weaknesses, now we got to be careful with that because some people will be like, oh, you don't have any weaknesses. You know, if you ask your mom or something, she'll be like, you're a perfect little angel. No, like try to get people to give you some sort of answer with the intention of you're not trying to harp on your weaknesses. You're really just trying to gather data and see where maybe other people see certain weaknesses that you have. But it's up to you whether or not you want to work on them. I'm not someone who says you should always work on your weaknesses. I think it's more important to just focus on your strengths when it's all said and done, unless your weakness is holding you back. But that's a totally different subject. The third question, this is the heavy hitter. How do you envision me making a contribution to the world? You will be pleasantly surprised by some of the answers that you get. So I have some advice for this too, because some people, when you ask that question, they'll try to like distill it or simplify it. It's meant to be open-ended. Some people will be like, what do you mean? Like as far as your career or your job or no, just whatever comes to your mind. How do you envision me making a contribution to the world? And when you're asking these questions, you want to make sure you write them down because, or even record it if you want to. You just want to make sure you have access to like go back at this stuff because it really, like, think about it. You're asking the three most important people in your life very powerful questions about how they see you and how they envision you making a contribution to the world. So I'll share this with you. Let me grab this. So quick story. I have a bunch of stuff on it. Like it's become like a wristband holder. I had a bandana holder for when I go for runs or play basketball. This statue came from me. Well, let me take you back. Quick story time. And then we'll move on because I want to open it up for Q&A and stuff. So quick story time. I was 23 years old, feeling like a complete loser because not only did I not make it to the NFL, but I was back home in my childhood bedroom with no job prospects, no idea of how to put a resume together. And I connected with, you know, my older cousin who played football too and went through something similar. And he's the one who told me about the who, what, and how. I forget what book he found it. What book he found it in. But he was like, hey, this can really help you because it's helped me. So I'm like, okay, cool. First person I asked was my mom. Mom, strengths, weaknesses, the whole nine. One of the things that she said, I don't even remember the strengths and weaknesses, to be honest with you. I have them written down somewhere. But when she said, how do you envision me making a contribution to the world? One of the things she told me was that I'm great at listening to people making them feel understood, and pouring into their lives. I never saw myself that way before. I mean, I knew I was, you know, I guess mature for my age, and I was always kind of like the big brother figure to even guys who were the same age as me, the more mature, responsible one. But hearing that feedback, it was really impactful for me. And so one day my mom's out shopping. I was at home, you know, doing what I'm telling you guys not to do, you know, looking on Indeed and stuff instead of being intentional about what I wanted. But I'm on Indeed and my mom comes back home and she's like, "Hey, I saw this statue while I was out. And it made me think of you in our conversation. And I just wanted you to have this." And so everywhere I go, let me put it over here. So it's very symbolic because it's, as you can see, it's someone at the top of the ladder helping the person up. But the thing that was deep about it for me was, like, at the time I was looking for any job that I can get. And I had a bunch of friends who had graduated ahead of me telling me, like, "You don't just want to go climb the corporate ladder. Like, trust me, just find something that you enjoy doing or be intentional about your career path." So not only is this person helping someone up, but they're also at the top of the ladder, meaning they've reached the top of the ladder by helping other people up. And I said, wow, that was, now it hit me right then, but in terms of applying it, it didn't hit me until I found myself being unintentional, working in jobs just to make ends meet. But I always kept that on my desk. When I was at work, I would look at that statue and be like, "Taj, you got to figure out a way to help people that's true to you and find a way to climb a ladder that resonates with you. And you know, when you're at the end of your life, you'll be happy and you'll feel like, okay, I'm at peace with how I lived my life." And that led me to this spiral of going from sales to recruiting to career development, job development. Then eventually I started building Thrive After Sports on the side and then quit that job. So I wanted to share that with you because the biggest thing I took from that, aside from everything I just shared, is starting to think about what I want my life to look like when it's all said and done. I know, you know, for a lot of people, you know, death is an uncomfortable subject and people don't like thinking about it. But I mean, you know, we're all going to the same place, wherever that may be, whatever you believe in, we're all going to the same place when it's all said and done. And so I always encourage people to think about what you want people to say about you at your funeral. Right? Like, we all have a finite amount of time on this earth, not to get all, you know, morbid on you and bring you down on a Thursday afternoon, but we all, that's the reality of it. And you guys all know that. So if you can start thinking about, wow, like, I'm not going to be here forever. What do I want? What kind of impact do I want to have? Back to the who, right? What kind of impact do I want to have on my fellow human beings? And how can I really dedicate myself to, you know, carving that out? So I want to take a pause right there. I can keep going, but I really want to get into some coaching. And before I say that, because sometimes if I get on, like, you know, group calls, or even when I speak in person to large groups, what happens is I'll say, like, "Hey, I need a volunteer. Can anyone just share something that they're experiencing right now that they need help with?" And, you know, some people are shy, especially athletes. Athletes are very prideful people. They don't want to look weak or, you know, embarrassed in front of anyone. But I always remind people that by you stepping up and volunteering, not only can I help you with your specific situation, but those who may not be, I don't want to say brave enough, but those who aren't comfortable enough to be vulnerable and share what they're going through, they can be helped by just watching the conversation that's taking place. So does anyone, you don't even have to come on video if you want. You can just, you know, if you got your video off, you can just speak on audio. Does anyone want to, authenticity is your superpower. I love that.
And just I was just asking, like, any, feel free to just come off of mute. We're looking for a volunteer, like you said, and, you know, I know it's sometimes a little bit scary. Now's your chance to really get supported by a professional in this space. So we'd love to see somebody come on here and know that when you raise your hand to get help, you're helping every single person on this call too. So you're making a contribution today.
You said it a lot better than I did, Scotty, way more concise, but that's exactly what. Yeah. So anybody who is, if you're even just a little bit unsatisfied with your career, or you maybe just got laid off, or you want to start a business or a side hustle or something like that, anything that I can help with as far as career trajectory, business trajectory, all that type of stuff.
Hey, Taj, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Jesse. How you doing, Jesse?
Yes, yes. Good. How are you? Thank you for being here and sharing your insight with us. My thing is this. So I've been in my career for about 20 years. kind of fell into it, kind of grew through it, kind of liked it. Now I'm getting to the point where I'm bored of it. And I've kind of put all my energy and focus on this one career, you know? So now I'm getting to the point in the end, the age as well, that it's kind of like, I got 20 more years before I have to retire. What do I want to do now? And I have really no direction, because I put all my eggs into this one basket. And so it's kind of like, do I want to go into this? Do I want to go into that? Well, how do I get into this? How do I get into that? Should I change careers? Should I go back to school? And so it's kind of like, what's the best course of action, or how do I start from the, you step one, step two, how do I start at step zero?
Yes.
Like, where do I get that inspiration? It's like, I could be doing this. I would really enjoy it. Or I could be doing that and really enjoy it. Or, I don't know.
Perfect. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you being willing to share that. So a couple of questions for you so I can have some context around this. So what have you been doing for 20 years? What's your job?
I work in a hospital. I'm basically just kind of front office admissions. I'm a director at one of the hospitals. And so my specific job is all patients coming through, authorizations, cash payments, just the front end stuff for patients coming in for services.
Okay. And then you said you just kind of fell into it about 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I'm interested in how that came about. Like, what were you doing before you went into this role? Did you go to college for anything specific, or how did you end up in this role specifically?
When I first started, it was basically just a job to pay bills. It was kind of like, I didn't go to school for it. It was a really entry-level position into the hospital. And through the course of the years, I was able to get promoted, or my position changed in the same hospital. I went from a scheduler to a verifier to just kind of different pieces of the whole puzzle that goes into hospital work, if you will. And so with the knowledge that I've learned, I've kind of grown through my career, got promotions, kind of get going through there. I finally went back to school and got a bachelor's in business administration. So now that's kind of where I'm at now as the director. I start at the very bottom. Like I always say, start at the bottom and you'll grow. That's exactly where I started.
Okay. And you said you have about 20 years before you can retire?
Ish. So I'm 52. I just turned 52. And when you're younger, you don't think about, wow, what am I going to be in 50? When I'm 50, what am I going to be doing? What kind of job I'm going to have? It was just kind of like, I started 20 years ago and now I'm 52. And like, whoa, where'd the time go? What happened? What do I need to do to change? Where can I go from here? Because at the end of the day, like you had mentioned, I don't want to be on my quote unquote deathbed and say, I really didn't like what I was doing. I really didn't like that job. I want to make sure that I take advantage of the time that I have to be able to make money and to grow and to actually love what I do. Mm-hmm. Like Scotty, when I see him, he's very energetic and I can tell that he's got that passion. And that's the one word that I've always had trouble with. What is my passion? And I've never been able to discover it.
Okay, so I have a few. There's a lot to unpack here. First of all, you don't look. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I just mean there's.
I know.
That's how my mind works. There's so many moving parts that I want to make sure I'm getting clear on. And by the way, you do not look 52, man. I need to know what you're eating over there because,
a lot of water.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm gonna take another sip. This is an important question. I was just having this conversation. Is that vegan lifestyle? Apparently. All right, I need to hit up Sarah for those that sandwich recipe. Respect. Okay, so you think about 20 years, and I'm sure all the wonderful benefits that come with being retired, especially the 20 years you've already put in. Simple yes or no question. Are you willing to stay there for 20 more years just for the retirement and all the benefits that come with that?
It's easy.
It's easy. Okay.
It's easy. I could be here another 20 years if I just wanted to kind of coast. Mm-hmm. It's easy.
Now, When you say going, you were, I think you mentioned you were considering going back to school again.
I did go to school, and I'm kind of thinking about going back to school to get a master's in business administration, MBA. And I'm like, well, do I really want to spend money on an MBA if I'm going to change direction and not even be in business? You know? So now kind of like I'm stuck. I'm always like, what do I do?
Okay. So from what I'm hearing, just to make sure we're on the same page, it would be very easy for you to coast for another 20 years, get that retirement, but you don't want to be on your deathbed regretting that you stayed there. So the first thing I would say, there's a few things here just so you can see for yourself that you are 100% ready to make a change and you absolutely cannot stay there. But this is important. The fact that you're willing to go back, that you're thinking about going back to school, like you said, instead of spending all that money, I would encourage you to either spend that money or put that time, energy, and effort into crafting that new vision for yourself. Now, here's the thing. I'm not telling you to quit your job tomorrow because you can start pivoting or working on something on the side that will take you there eventually if you're working on it at the time where you're not at work or during the slow times at work. But when you think about just from a lifestyle perspective, and this comes back to creating the lifestyle you want, right? Before we start talking about what it is that you actually want to do from an industry or a role or even a business perspective, we got to talk about the lifestyle. I'm assuming that, are you someone who needs to be around people? Are you someone who wants to work remotely, maybe some sort of hybrid position? What would you change about your current role from a lifestyle perspective?
From my perspective, I'm kind of face to face in the trenches, with patients consistently. You know, I've never had that work from home gig or that opportunity for that. So my mind's thinking, oh, work from home, and so I'm thinking, well, because I'm more of an introvert, I think. I've kind of learned how to be an extrovert because of my job, but I'm really more of an introvert. On the weekends, I just like to be left alone and just kind of whatever. So I think probably for me, it would be kind of like a hybrid, if you will. 80% work from home, 20% maybe, out in the real world, if you will.
Okay. All right. So this is perfect because I know you feel like you've wasted 20 years, but I just want you to think about the timing of everything. After 20 years, you hit a point where you're like bored and you're like, I have to make some sort of change. And you know you want to work remotely at least part of the time. You just so happen to be having this epiphany or desire to make a change at a time where it's easier to get remote work than ever. Not only that, but you have 20 years of experience behind you. So if you were to make a pivot, and here's what I'm saying, I'm not saying that's the end all be all. We would have to spend a lot of time together to really craft that vision. I don't have a crystal ball, I always tell people, but at least something that can kind of free you up from where you're currently at would be to find something that is in a similar space based off of your experience, but allows you more flexibility. And the best time to get a pay raise is when you're finding another job, right? So you can make a pivot into a role that pays you. You might mess around and double your salary, just by making a pivot into something else. And also that will give you the freedom and flexibility. Now that's just more of like a temporary kind of bridge type of solution. I know ultimately, like you said, you want to find your passion. The thing about that is, when I was talking about the who, what, and how earlier, in terms of who, is there any specific demographic or group of people that popped up when I was walking everybody through that? Because before we start talking about you and what you're passionate about, which we will get to, but is there any specific group of people that you would like to help or serve, or any problems that you see out in the world that you're like, I'd like to be involved in helping this or helping further this mission or working with this type of people?
Yeah, a couple things come to mind top of my head, animal rights, that's kind of big. Children, children that may have not strong households, if you will. Okay. Those would be my two go-tos. That's kind of where I feel like I could do some good.
Very good. Okay. And then, you don't have to tell everybody your business, but how are you doing financially?
I'm doing good. I'm very comfortable. I don't have to worry about, for the most part, not have to worry about like, I'm not living paycheck to paycheck now. I have some money saved. I got a 401 growing, if I want to go on a trip to, take a cruise for like $700, $800, I don't have to really worry too much about where's that money going to come from, or where do I have to splurge, or, you know, I can splurge here and there. So I'm not too worried about that.
Okay. And the reason I ask is because I think it's important to share with people that you don't always have to just completely drop one career and just make a complete pivot into something else. You can sort of find a, almost like an in-between type of thing, right? So this is not, like I said, we would need to have a lot more conversation for me to be able to flesh this out. But when I hear you say you're passionate about animal rights and helping children in some way, shape, or form, what I hear is, okay, here's a guy who's got 20 years of experience, could easily go find another job that will pay him more and give him freedom, flexibility, autonomy, might even let him work fully remotely, especially with the nature of, you know, at least a lot of the responsibilities of your role. What that then opens you up for is, okay, well, maybe because I have so much freedom and flexibility and I can work from anywhere now and I'm making more money, maybe it looks like getting involved with some sort of organization that, or doing a, I know it's totally different in the medical industry, but there's a skill set that you have that you could take and bring into the world of animal rights, or, I mean, the careers related to helping children, and not just in the nonprofit space, but those types of careers are endless. And if you really spend some time thinking about, okay, well, how can I get involved and bring my skill set or develop a new skill set and take it into a realm that I actually have a passion for and I feel like I'm making an impact. And like you said, when you're on your deathbed, you're like, you know what? I'm glad I made that switch from the hospital and now I'm helping this group of people. But I want to be careful, Jesse, because I also don't want to limit you to thinking that you can only do what you've been doing in those realms. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
You can reinvent yourself and of course, within reason, do anything that you want or develop that skill set or invest in yourself to develop that skill set. And you don't necessarily have to go back to school to do that.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So is that helpful for you, or what else?
Very helpful. Very helpful. Because at least it kind of gives me some, you know, a little direction on kind of how to think about things. A little more specific, but yeah, it's very helpful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah. I would just keep marinating on those who, what, and how columns and fill those out. And then, like, it was very easy for you to say animal rights and children. Like, those are two areas you care about. You could probably come up with even more if you really spend some time marinating on that. So, just be curious and just start looking for, I always tell people, you don't necessarily want to look for jobs right away. You want to look for people. Right. So if you find some sort of company or organization that's involved with helping children or animal rights, you can start to go through LinkedIn and find people who are in those organizations. And you might come across someone and say, like, wow, this person has, I don't know, I can't think of a title, but this person has a role within this organization that I've never even heard of. And then what you could do is make contact with this person and have a conversation with them and just be very transparent. Like, hey, I'm looking to make a career change. I was intrigued by your role. If you're open to it, I'd love to just spend like 10, 15 minutes on the phone with you to learn more about what you do. And that's what I was saying earlier about being intentional about studying people who are in positions or companies, roles, whatever that you want to be in, and just gathering data from those people. And some of those people could be people who help you get a foot in the door with that organization, could give you some advice or make an introduction for you that leads to something totally different that you weren't even thinking about or never heard of. But, and this is the last thing I'll say about that. One of my favorite sayings is that clarity has to be cultivated, you know, and I know none of you guys in here have a problem with hard work, but clarity has to be cultivated because most people, when they're in a period of being lost or in discovery, I'm not saying this is you, Jesse, I'm just saying in general, a lot of people come with the mindset of, man, you know, I wish I could find my purpose. I just wish I knew what my purpose was. Like, they're just going to be walking down the street and the clouds are going to part. It's going to be like, you're supposed to be a hot air balloon pilot. You know, like that's that's not how it works. You have to spend time on it just like anything else in life. It takes work to craft a vision and a lot of soul searching. And then also, Jesse, ask other people too, man. You know, the 3x3, the three questions for three people closest to you. I think that'll do a lot for you right now.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for asking, Jesse. So we'll go, any other questions for Taj? We got about 13 minutes till the top of the hour. So like 10 to 11 minutes just before we kind of do a little quick wrap up. Does anybody else want to come on? If so, now's your chance to get some support.
Yeah, I have a question. Mine is a little bit different than Jesse's, where I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to get started.
Perfect.
So
I love that type of stuff. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So I kind of, the thing for me, I get bored easily. Like, I like taking on challenges, and like, once I know how to do something, I'm like, okay, what's the next thing? Mm. So historically in my field, I was working more in like the finance side, and I was like, okay, this isn't really for me. So then I went into more like software data engineering type work. And I've been doing that for the past couple of years, and I really enjoy it, but I'm like, no, I kind of get how this works. Like, this trained a different side of my brain. And now that I understand how technology works and how to leverage it, I'm like, okay, well, now I want to do something that leverages a different type of creativity. So something I've always wanted to do is be a hairdresser. So now I want to become a hairdresser. I've wanted to do that since I was like, I don't know, like in elementary school. But I also want to keep doing my tech work. Like, I don't want to necessarily give it up. I just want to challenge myself in another creative aspects. But I don't want to go to school for hairdressing, because I don't think that I'm so passionate about it. I feel like I could just pick it up. I mean, that might sound arrogant, but like, I've been studying hairdressing just as a hobby for like my whole life. So I'm like, okay, how do I become a hairdresser without going back to school? Like, should I just start taking classes from people who I know are really good? And like, I don't necessarily need to be certified. I can learn it as I go. Or yeah, I think I'm just trying to figure out what that plan looks like.
Okay.
And gotcha. Like, how I could grow that clientele base. And that would be something I would just do like on the side until, and see like, okay, is this something that I'm truly passionate about? But if I've been thinking about it for like 20 years, I think I am. So there's that.
Okay, cool. I have a lot of thoughts on this. So, and I have some follow-up questions too. But before I say anything else, I think, and I know you guys have all heard this expression before of, I think it's building the parachute on the way down, building the parachute while you've already jumped out of the plane, or growing wings after jumping off the cliff. And what I mean by that is, well, I guess I should ask you, have you already been doing hair? Like, are you already doing people's hair? Or are you more so just studying and watching other hairdressers from a distance?
I like style people's hair. And I've been told like, man, you should really like charge for this. Like, this is really professional. Like, you're good at what you do. And So I'm just like, oh man, maybe why don't I? Like, I genuinely enjoy doing this. It brings me genuine happiness, and people like my work and we're like offering to pay for it. So why am I not doing this? Like,
that's awesome. Why aren't you? Why aren't you charging for your work?
I think because I'm trying to figure out like, how do I set up a client base? And right now more it's like hairstyling, whereas like, I still don't know how to cut hair yet properly. But I feel like if I just sat down and focused and got really into it, like I already know who my favorite hairdressers in the world are. Like, I've been studying it for years now, and I know where they like, yeah, I guess I need to like start taking their classes, because I monitor when they come into town and not, and like provide those classes. But I'm trying to figure out like, yeah, how do you start a client base? Like, how do you, yeah, like, where do you even begin? That's where I'm stuck. It's not perfect. That I'm afraid to start. I don't know how to start.
Gotcha. Cause you've already started technically. It's just, you're holding yourself back in certain areas, like charging for your work, because, you don't feel fully confident yet, which is understandable, which is human, right? Everybody goes through that, especially when they're trying to start something new, especially something like a business or being self-employed. So it's normal, first and foremost. The thing I would ask you is, when you're doing people's hair, since you're already doing it, and even though you're not charging, are you sharing that at all on social media, or taking pictures, or having them share it, you know, after you do their hair?
No, which I was thinking I should probably start doing. I'm like very like, I guess I'm just not like a big social media person. Like, I don't even really go on social media because I find it draining.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realize from a business perspective, that would be the smarter thing to do. So I'm trying to figure out like, how do I balance like not wanting to be so personally invested in it because it's like, it's just draining for me, but also like realizing, okay, but in order to make yourself known, you have to put yourself out there. So what does that balance look like?
Yeah, I think, so this is what I would do, because something like this, especially when you're trying to build confidence, you don't want to just, oh, I'm going to start my own hair salon tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to read these comments. I can't help but read the comments. So as someone of self-employed, social media is unfortunately... Yeah, I agree. I have a love-hate relationship with social media as well. But I think the thing that, because I wouldn't be on it at all if I didn't have a business or I didn't want to share what I was doing. Something that's helpful just as a mindset piece is not to think of it as like, oh, I have to promote myself, I have to be on social media, but to think of it as I'm sharing something that could help someone, right? Or the other thing is by sharing the work that you're doing or having other people share it, you're sharing something that you actually have a passion for, so it'll be less drudging than you trying to promote something that you actually don't really care about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just for the, and I know we're coming up on time, so just to give you some practical steps that you can actually use, definitely keep doing people's hair. And here's what I would do. If they're like friends or someone that you know, and they're offering to pay, let them pay, because that's going to get you in the habit of, it doesn't matter if you charge them $20 at first, right? Something that I would do is kind of start lower and then slowly but surely start to build up. Or for the people who have offered to pay you, ask them what you think it would be worth, or kind of look up what a typical hairdresser gets paid. Then what I would do is for those people who you're already styling, have them send you referrals, right? Say, look, I'm going to do your hair for $20 or whatever it is you're offering, and that'll just be your rate. If they say, you know, I'd pay you $100 for this. Cool. Anytime I do your hair, it'll be $100. I'll never charge you more. I just ask that you share what I'm doing and send some more people my way, because I really want to start doing more hair. Then what you do is, and I know this is a social media piece, you know, I'm not telling you have to, go viral overnight. But what I'm saying is it is important that you're sharing and that you're asking the people that you're styling to share as well. And definitely, so for example, just from a confidence piece, when you're saying that you're not confident in how to cut hair, learn from those people who are already in your network, your friends who are hairdressers, watch YouTube videos. If that's a gap that's holding you back from feeling fully confident in your work, go learn that skill set. You can get off this call right now, go on YouTube, Google how to cut hair, and within the next 30 minutes, you'll be an expert at cutting hair because you watched a couple of videos. Cool. Now you don't have to worry about that anymore because you know how to do it. The other thing is this, with your software job, what I would do is like, is that a fully remote role?
Yeah. Like it's not even full hours because I'm so comfortable with it. Like I have time.
That's amazing. That's great. So you have time to learn, you have time to do more hair, and you have time to build it up to the point where, now of course it's going to take time to, I'm sure whatever you're being paid at the software job, it would take a lot of time to build up to your, to being a full-time hairdresser or to eventually open up your own shop. But at the end of the day, that's not going to matter in terms of how much you're making from the side hustle, because the more energy you put into the side hustle, the quicker it becomes the main hustle. Like, who's to say you couldn't be making what you're making in your software job from doing hair in the next few years or less? It just depends on how much time, energy, and effort you put into it, you know? But don't come from a place of angst and like, oh, I have to do this. Just enjoy it because it's something you genuinely enjoy doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that's good advice.
Cool. Okay. Scotty, I know we're coming up on time, man.
Yes, Lauren, thanks for asking. I know somebody on this call found value in that because it was cool to, like, both Jesse and Lauren, thank you guys, because you guys were kind of at different ends of the spectrum. So we got to see a wide range. Taj, I got one more last question for you as we wrap up here. I like to ask this to all the guests and just kind of share this, you know, in my own stuff. If everybody on this call were to forget everything you said except for one thing that would mean, that would help them make the most impact or create them, actually rephrase that, help them create the most momentum, right? Like that one thing that, like, hey, just do this. And this is that one domino that if that falls, then other things will start falling. What would that be?
Spend as much time as possible thinking about what you want your life to look like and fit your job or your career or your business underneath that umbrella. Because most of us do the opposite. Most of us start with, like I said earlier, we start with the job and then we're trying to fit life into Saturday and part of Sunday or after work. Think about how you want your life to look like and really, really spend time on that so that you can build underneath whatever you're doing to earn money. That's what I would say. And remember, we only have one life. And I don't say that to put pressure on you or to make you sad. I say that because, like Jesse was saying earlier, You don't want to be on your deathbed thinking like, man, I had this thing, but I didn't go for it because I was scared or because I didn't believe in myself. Bet on yourself. I'll just leave it at that.
Bet on yourself. I love it. Absolutely love that. Thanks so much, Taj, for the awesome presentation. Thank you guys for asking questions, for being tentative, for being responsive to Taj. I know he appreciates that. You know, if you've ever given a talk and when people on the other end, there's crickets, it's like, are they listening to me? But you guys were interactive, engaging. You dropped some comments. So thank you. Hopefully you got a lot out of this. Taj, thank you again so much. And if everybody could let Taj know how much you appreciated him coming in the comments, please drop some thanks, some love for him for taking an hour out of his day where he could have been anywhere else, definitely anywhere else, but with us. Please show him some love. We'd appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It's been great to be with you, man. Scotty, thank you again for having me, and thank you all. It's been a pleasure. Hey, so if you made it to the end of this episode, first of all, thank you for tuning in. For those of you guys who are here for the first time, welcome. Please like the video if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe to this channel. I have a lot more great interviews coming up. I think you'll really be surprised with some of the guests that I have and some of the stories that they have to share. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please just leave a 5-star review, subscribe, and share this episode or any other episodes out with someone who needs to hear it. I am on a mission to help as many athletes transition out of their sport and have successful lives after their careers, and not just survive, but thrive in everything that they do. And you guys know I do that in a myriad of ways. It's not just the podcast, it's not just the books, but I do offer coaching as well. I want to encourage you guys to go back and look at some of the testimonials of former athletes that I've worked with to help them through their transitions. Guys, don't hesitate to reach out. Visit TajDeshaun.com. That's where you can find all the free resources, not just the podcast and the books, but access to me. You can schedule a free call with me. I have a ton of free access and scholarships for athletes to work with me. So utilize those resources, guys. And last but not least, I definitely want to encourage you guys to grab my first book, Thrive After Sports. You can just go on Amazon, type in Taj Deshaun. I have multiple books on there, but I always try to point people to Thrive After Sports just because I think that's the book that I look at as the most impactful that can help an athlete through the transition. I know a lot of people have read that book and been helped through the transition without ever having to speak to me or even listening to my podcast. And I just got this recording today that I wanted to share with you guys from my guy, Benjamin Van Buren. He's a soccer player, former soccer player at Mercy College, went on to play professional soccer and just recently retired. And he read my book while he was playing, but then read it again after he retired. And this is what he had to say about it. I love you guys. I'll see you in the next episode. Peace. And here's Ben.
Yo, Taj, it's Ben from Athlete Mentor. Just want to let you know, obviously your book came in and I read it a while ago when I was still in season, and it didn't really hit me then. I was like, yeah, cool. It's a great book, whatever. And then I went to Spain and I was playing for a team over there. And then I left because my grandmother was sick, so I came home, and now it's hitting me. So I read it again. Dude, that thing is phenomenal. Like, if you could put this audio on a case study on your website, I would do it, because it's crazy how, like, the skills and attributes that student athletes have just go missing. And it's like, yeah, you're playing sports, you have all this adrenaline, all this hype about you, all you're working out all the time, you feel good, and then out of nowhere it's like, oh cool, I'm done, you know, like I have nothing to work for really. So then you get into sales, you get into other things, and you find something that you want to build for yourself, and that's what you get that excitement and that adrenaline from again. So yeah, man, I just want to let you know that I read it again and it really hit me now that I'm kind of officially retired as a player, but yeah, that's all I wanted to say, man. I hope you're doing well, hope you're living the life. I'm actually on Long Island now. I'm going to go to Stony Brook basketball game. So at your alma mater. But yeah, dude, phenomenal work. And let's obviously stay in touch. Maybe get on a call soon. Talk to you later. Peace.